about 4 years ago, I think it was. Yes, 2014 or 15. Somebody actually tried to create a cryptocurrency for permaculture. I actually, when I first started getting interested in blockchain, really, rather than cryptocurrency, which I really had very little interest in, I did quite a bit of research on that cryptocurrency, which, as I say, was created to support permaculture, but then sort of faded away before it ever launched. In any case, we're in an interesting time, just to focus on cryptocurrency for a minute. This is June 13th, 2018, and really the white paper which started what was the first cryptocurrency, which was Bitcoin, which was written by an entity called Satoshi Nakamoto. Nobody seems to know who that is, although there are emails out there from that entity in the earlier days. As a point of reflection, which I've probably said in these podcasts before, my main interest in all of this started with Ethereum, because I read the Ethereum white paper and it really sort of set a fire in me as to what we may be able to do by finding a way to exchange value without having to use fiat currency. So I'll digress into that for a moment, the fiat currency aspect, because as much as I'm not that keen on how cryptocurrencies are being used at the moment, if I look at things overall, if I look at fiat currency and cryptocurrency, and let's say, I've said this before, I think, let's say that they were both coming out today, they'd never been there before, and they were a proposal. If people looked at what cryptocurrency was based on, and then they looked at what fiat currency was based on, they would absolutely choose cryptocurrency without a second thought. Because a fiat monetary system is completely assetless, basically. It used to be based on the gold standard, and that was pretty much thrown out in the early 70s. And, you know, at least at that point, there was some theoretical limit to how much fiat currency could be issued, because it was pinned to how much gold the country owned. Having said that, there's lots of rumours around as to why it was thrown out, and one of the rumours is that the gold really wasn't there. You know, in fact, I think that one of the sort of pivotal points was France wanted to get its gold back from Fort Knox in the USA, and again, these are rumours that the USA didn't have that gold in Fort Knox. There's all sorts of rumours swirl around that there is no gold in Fort Knox anyway, and nobody can gain entry to it. But you know, that those are more in the realms of conspiracy theories, and I really don't subscribe to them. In any case, in these days, particularly the US government via the Federal Reserve, which is not federal at all, again, that's a subject I've touched on before, but it's a private entity, are able to print currency. And, you know, as I sit here today, as in the USA, we're over $20 trillion in debt, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So that's one aspect of fiat currency. The other aspect is that there's something called fractional reserve banking, which actually goes back, funnily enough, to the days of goldsmiths prior to paper currency. And what that says, basically, is that any financial entity that's registered with, you know, official government agencies can loan up to 10 times the amount of assets that they actually have. And that's why there's always this worry about a run on the banks, because the banks don't have the money that depositors think they can get back. I've read different numbers on this, but this is from, you know, august economic bodies, which say that if there was 6% of the money that we actually think is there, would be lucky. You know, it's likely to be less than that. So the banks are completely fearful about a run on the banks, and the governments are going to do everything they can to prevent that. There's also another aspect that's available which you may want to research on. It's called bail-ins. We've all heard of bailouts, where banks are are helped out by taxpayer money. But a bail-in is where a bank can actually go into the depositor's accounts and take money out if it gets into trouble. And that's actually happened. I think the most famous case was in Cyprus, if you want to research that. So cut a long story short, I'm about halfway through this podcast. The fiat monetary system is not anything like as stable as we're led to believe. So let's look at cryptocurrency for a moment, and in particular, start off with Bitcoin. So the white paper for Bitcoin was created, I believe, in 2008, and it was never intended to be another, sort of cryptocurrency, sorry, another fiat currency, and deeply steeped in speculation, and that's what's going on at the moment. I mean, the value of Bitcoin and any other cryptocurrency is, largely speaking, tied to the US dollar, and that's not where it was meant to be, and it's not where it should be. It should be an alternative mechanism of trading value. I do see some hope that might happen eventually. And the other sort of good news with cryptocurrency is that it's not tied to a particular government. Now, some governments are trying to release their own cryptocurrencies, but that's a nonsense in its own right, because the whole idea of cryptocurrencies is they're not beholden to one particular country or sovereign identity, as government I'm talking about. So these are interesting times. Definitely the majority of activity in cryptocurrencies at this point is in speculation, through bodies which are called exchanges, which again is a nonsense, because the whole point of cryptocurrencies is based, the whole root of it, in actual fact, what is the root of it, is peer-to-peer computing, which, has been around for a while. I've talked about that in various podcasts too. I mean, that the most famous example of that prior to Bitcoin was Napster, probably, and BitTorrent. I'm sure you've probably heard of that, those in the technology world. But blockchain, and now other things beyond blockchain, which aren't the same infrastructure. We should really call it, rather than blockchain, we should really call it distributed ledger technology, DLT. That's what it actually is. But there are certainly some hopes, some light at the end of the tunnel, which we hope is not an oncoming train, as the saying goes, which really point to the fact that in a couple of main ways, I mean, more people are finding ways to accept cryptocurrency in payment for things rather than, fiat currency. And, there are, as technology advances, it is, in leaps and bounds, particularly with the coming onset of artificial intelligence, which a lot of people are worried about, I'm not, and also quantum computing, which there's a lot of work going on there in that level. I think that we will get to a point where we'll have to get to a point where we can exchange value without it being via things like fiat currency. Gold and silver are a little bit better because they actually exist. Well, and that's another point. If you are going to trade in gold, if you are going to go to gold or silver, make sure you can see it and touch it, because a piece of paper saying it exists is really no better than fiat currency, which is a piece of paper saying that something really exists, which in reality it doesn't. Again, the goldsmiths lending pieces of paper for more gold than they actually had in their possession is where fiat currency came from in the first place. That's what we know as fractional reserve banking. So anyway, that's this podcast, more or less. I just wanted to emphasise things I've said before, and these things really do need updating at points in time, because things are changing so fast. I think we're beginning to reach the end of the hype of ICOs, initial coin offerings. A lot of people are seeing through that. Millions upon, maybe close to billions, billion probably, money's been raised from just a white paper and a nice looking website with no actual entity yet. People have invested, like I say, billions of dollars probably into things that don't yet exist. The other very quick one to finish off with, we have a tremendous lack of software developers at the moment. I'll address that in another podcast in the future. Once again, as always, thank you for listening, and I hope you find this interesting. I know this didn't seem like it was much about permaculture, but it is, because the exchange of value from individual to individual is at the root of one of the mainstays of permaculture. Okay, thank you.